Turn your Bibles a little to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. I want to speak this morning with the Lord's help and blessing about hope. Hope. And been batting these words around. This has probably been something that I've just been working with and considering about, praying about over the last couple of years. Just the words of the Bible. I've mentioned this and alluded to this from time to time. We're going to talk about hope this morning, but I hope that we can see about some other things that are in here. And again, these words from the Scripture that the Lord gives to us and tells us about different aspects and parts, if you will, of salvation. In here is sanctification, and of course, all of this is within the calling of God and conviction that He gives and the truth of His Word the things that we look forward to, the things that we've been saved from. You know, this is all the Lord's working in us, and He has saved us and called us and given His Son for us, and from that, from these things, we have hope. But there is these things fit together, if you will, and that's what I want to see, how they fit together. Okay. And we're going to emphasize on hope and concentrate on hope this morning, but I trust that maybe we can see these things. If I've got these in an order from top to bottom, and this is kind of the way I see it right now, and I'll explain it to you as we go. And if you have other thoughts, I want to hear from you about it, okay? But this is with it now. I'm going to move this out here so maybe everybody can see. Something like that. Okay, here in Romans chapter 5, let's take a look here in verse number 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. All right? So there's some order that's given there, and may the Lord help us and bless us this morning as we take a look at it. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank You for the day, and we thank You for Your blessings. We thank You, Father, for Jesus Christ, who rose from the dead. Not only did He give Himself a ransom for us and give His life and was buried, but Lord, that He did raise from the dead. We thank You for everlasting life and eternal life that You have given us, Father. That You've saved, we possess it now, and we praise Your name for that. We look forward to it being fulfilled in us, and these old bodies, these old vile bodies changed one day. We thank You for the promise of that and the hope that we have in that, that one day we'll see our Savior face to face, and when we see Him, we'll be like Him because we'll be seeing Him. Thank You for Your promises, and thank You for Your salvation, and we praise Your name for Your touch upon our lives. Help us here in this church, Homestead Baptist Church, where You place us, Father. We would serve You well. We'd walk with You in a way that'd be right and pleasing and to You, a good witness of You and what You've done for us to a lost and dying world. We pray, Father, as we look into these things in Your Word, that You'd help us, that we'd hear You and believe You and trust You in those things that You say. Help us to have understanding about it and good and right application of it to our lives. We pray, Father, for those that are here this morning that are without Christ, because in that situation, in that state, they are indeed without hope. And we pray, Father, that You might reveal Christ unto them, reveal Christ in them. Lord, that they might see that they're sinners and they're in need of a Savior. And Lord, You'd work Your operation in them, Lord, that they might believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, You'd work in their hearts and save them. Help now, we pray and bless. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name for His sake. Amen. Here, the apostle writing to this church at Rome, and he's been talking about faith. And Brother Stephen this morning, he there in Hebrews dealt some about Abraham and Abraham being the father of faith. And that's what he's talked to this church about in the previous chapter. And he says here in chapter 5, therefore, because of that, being justified, made as if we've never sinned, by faith. Okay, faith. Faith in what? In you? What you've paid? What you've done? No. No, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's done it for you. Faith in Him. Faith in Him to make good on His promises, right? That one day He will raise us up, change us to Himself. That He's going to prepare a mansion for us, as we've looked recently. And if He's going to prepare a place for us, He'll come. We believe that, don't we? We have faith in that. Faith in Him. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God. God doesn't stand as a great and terrible judge where our sin stands before us and we are in jeopardy, great jeopardy, no-so jeopardy of the condemnation of our soul eternally. We've got peace with God. Oh, He's a fearful Father because He's holy. But we don't stand in that state anymore. We've been adopted. We've been made children, haven't we? All right? This comes from what he's talked about, what Abraham, he staggered not at the promise of God, it said there, verse number 4, but was strong in faith, verse number 20, giving glory to God. See, it's not about self, but it's about the Lord. We believe Him. We believe what He says. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He interceded, didn't He? He's a propitiation. He's the one that offered the atonement. Brother Stephen mentioned about that. Scripture talks about it. When the Lord Jesus Christ went into the holies of holies, He went into the true one, and He went once. And He didn't take two sacrifices, did He? Not one for Himself. He didn't need one for Himself. He took His own blood for us. Amen. He did that for us through Him. By whom also we have access. Admission. We have admission before the Lord. Access. We're able to go before the Lord. Not because of self, but because of Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ bids us come before the Lord, before the Father. We belong. We're not subjects of the kingdom. We preached that in time past. But we're children. We've got admission. We've got access. By faith. There it is again. Do you believe so? Do you believe so? Access by faith into this grace. Grace. A definition that we use is the unmerited favor of God, and indeed it is. That's a very concise definition. Another definition, taking a look in a Greek dictionary and that. Listen to this. This tells even more of what it is. The divine influence upon the heart. That's what the Lord's done for us. He changed my heart. Amen. He caused me from being blind to where I could see. He caused me from being deaf to where I could hear. He had influence on my heart. He changed my heart. He gave me a heart of flesh in exchange for a heart of stone. Amen. For you that are not saved, that's what we pray the Lord to do to you. Oh, and make you alive. We have access into this grace. Grace, the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. Are you a partaker of grace, of the grace of God? It's going to show up. It's not just going to be an inward thing. It is going to be an inward change and an inward thing, but it's going to show in the life. We've talked about, we saw in Proverbs Wednesday night, talk is cheap. Talking about it being a child of God is one thing, but operating like a child of God shows what's happened on the inside. Sure, there can be fakers. Is your salvation from the work from the inside out? Has your heart been changed? If it has been, the Lord says it's going to show up. Are you trying to change your heart from the outside in? Won't work. You're saying, you're taking a position to save yourself. You can't change your heart. Only the Lord can. You need Him. We need Him. Wherein we stand into this grace, wherein we stand, grace, the divine influence upon the heart, its reflection in the life, including gratitude. A thankful people, amen? We have been saved by the Lord, not we saved ourselves unto the Lord, right? In other words, synonyms, acceptable, benefit, favor, gift, joy, liberality regarding grace, pleasure, thanks, thankworthy. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand, the grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. That glory there of God is talking about the dignity, the honor, the praise and worship of God. We rejoice. We have great joy in the hope of the glory of God, being in His presence one day. Amen? To be partakers by being present, to be able to look upon the Lord Jesus Christ, to be there in that eternal kingdom. All of it proclaiming the glory of God. And we'll be there. Amen? And not only so, but we glory. That's a different, I got ahead of myself. Unto this grace and rejoice in hope, anticipation, pleasure, expectation, confidence. You know, the Bible hope is not a lottery type of hope. Maybe you win, maybe you won't. Most likely you won't win. That's not the kind of hope that the Scripture talks about. But we've got confidence because the Lord said it, the Lord's done it. It's so. It's going to happen. It's going to be. He said, I believe it. It is settled in heaven when the Lord speaks. He said it, and we believe it. We rejoice in the hope of being in that glory of God. So there's that word hope that's mentioned. And not only so, verse 3, but we glory. This is different glory than the glory of God. We rejoice in tribulations. Tribulations. Why would we rejoice? Why would we glory in tribulations also? Let's write this out here, okay? See if I can spell it right. Tribulations, right? We glory, we rejoice in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations worketh patience. Don't brag about your lack of patience. It's unbecoming of the child of God. Pursue patience. I believe, ask God for strength to live for the Lord. We live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. Even when those come along. They're going to come along, aren't they? Especially if we live godly, right? The scripture says that. And not only do we rejoice or glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Patience. Right? Patience. Cheerful endurance and continuance. Not endurance and continuance, but the patience that the Scripture speaks about is doing so cheerfully. We could grit down and knuckle down and endure a thing in this flesh. But the Lord's kind of patience, the patience that He wants the children of God to have, is to do so happily, joyfully, looking to the Lord. You know, if we look around at circumstance, we're going to get the molly grubs, aren't we? We're going to get discouraged. But does the Lord know about our tribulation? He sure does. Knows all about it. He knew about it before it arrived at our doorstep, didn't He? He knew about it. Patience, experience, okay, and tribulation, work of patience, verse 4, and patience, experience. Tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. This works this. What do you need? And what do you and I need to get through this well? Do we not need this? It's one thing to believe on the Lord for the salvation of your soul. It's another thing to trust Him with the details of life. Hear me? Okay? They are not the same, if you will. We are, when we're saved, we are equipped to rest or trust in the Lord. Trust. Right now, but I can trust Him. He's going to take care. The solution is not on my radar screen, but He's going to take care of it. Yeah. Does not the word trust speak to that? To have some hope. I'm talking about, we have hope in the Scriptures. The Scriptures look at that. But to have hope that you possess yourself, you've got to go through some things, don't you? Isn't that what this passage just said? Tribulation works patience. Because as the tribulation comes, we trust in the Lord. It works patience. We trust in the Lord. We don't know what the answer. We're waiting, cheerfully waiting on Him. Lord, You know the answer to this. You know what's going on. I don't see it. And you know what experience does? Experience gets us to the point where we say, you know what, this thing's coming along this time. I've seen the Lord deliver after this sort before. The Lord's brought an answer when an answer is needed. He's brought it along. And we have confidence because we've had hope, and then we go back through it again. And we trust Him, knowing that He doeth all things well. Amen? Right? And look what here, look at this in verse number 5. This is where we as the children of God, may the Lord help us to see that we need to grow. And hope maketh not ashamed. You know what that word ashamed means? It talks about be disgraced, or to blush, or confound. Brother Jim, the thing that I'm going through is embarrassing to me. Well, if it's embarrassing because of sin, take the rebuke and reproof from the Lord and change. But if you're standing, if you and I are standing in following the Lord in His Word and obeying Him in His Word, and the thing that comes along our way embarrasses us before mankind, and we're honest and open and right before the Lord, seeking to follow Him and obey Him, it's not a point of rebuke, it's not a point of chastisement from the Lord, but we're just bearing some persecution. Let us not be ashamed. Let us not blush. From my childhood, I've had a terrible time with blushing. When I'd get crowded or embarrassed or whatever, easily embarrassed when I was a child, I'd just turn beet red. You've seen me do it yet while I've been here. My body just doesn't like some stuff. it just gets obstinate to it. But the Lord showed me that this old body still hates Him too. This body needs to be killed, needs to be mortified. It's my soul that's been saved and the new man within that loves the Lord. And so the Lord showed me, don't worry about what your body does and how it acts. Let us not be confounded, but if we're trusting in the Lord as His children, then even though those things look bad, hope maketh not ashamed. The Apostle Paul came to a point in his life where it looks like everybody bailed out on him. Amen? Doesn't the Scripture bear that out? He tells Timothy, don't be ashamed of me and my bond. He said that when I stood before, if we understand it right, if he stood before Nero, before Caesar, no one stood with him. But the Lord stood with him. You see what I'm saying? Paul had been brought to a point and been delivered to a point to where if he would have not understood that all the things of his life were in the Lord's hands, he could have been ashamed and confounded and blushed. But the Lord had given him confidence and hope in him. Hope maketh not ashamed. Listen to this. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. John chapter 4, verse 18 says, there's no fear in love. There's no fear in love. Romans 8 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Is there anything? Can you list something that'll separate us from the love of Christ? You have the Lord, does He have you? Hope that maketh not ashamed, verse 5, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. See, the Spirit of God living within. Salvation is from inside to outside. And anybody trying to work it the other way does not have the salvation of the Lord. For when we were yet without strength, or for, verse number 6, or because, he said, listen to this salvation. Listen to the way this worked at the beginning. For when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. I was the ungodly that the Lord Jesus Christ died for. He died for me because I needed Him to. My sin was that awful and that bad. I was wretched in and of myself. I was doomed. Unless someone that had some pull and some ability could do. See, the hope going forward that we look to forward is indeed connected to the salvation and the deliverance in the past. See, if He didn't do this for me, how could I ever trust Him for anything to come ahead? Amen? For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. There have been times in history where men would give their lives for one that they would think maybe a good man. But I tell you what, they're few. They're few. But it can't happen. But nobody would ever die for a wretch. Who would die for the drug addict? Who would die for the prostitute that was ate up in their flesh with the diseases of an illicit life? Who would die for one like that? Who would die for a drunkard? Who would die for one that's just taken their life and wasted it? Who would die for one like that? You and I wouldn't, would we? Be honest. We wouldn't do it. But the Lord, He did, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, child of God. That's who the context is here, this, who is speaking to, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When I was a sinner, He died for me. Not when I was on the right track, looking like I might be able to make it and would be worthy to go ahead and rescue. But when I was lost and undone and wretched in my filth, Christ died for me. He died for me. He committed His love in that, didn't He? Much more then, verse 9, being now justified by His blood, that's the payment. That makes us as if we've never sinned. His blood, His body, His soul paid for my sins. He endured the condemnation that I justly deserve. We shall be saved from wrath through Him. We don't face the wrath of hell. We don't face the wrath of the lake of fire. We do not face the wrath that God's going to bring when the Lamb takes the book out of the right hand that sits upon the throne, that book sealed with seven seals that is the book of judgment, the judgment of God. I'm not going to be there. Because He has not appointed us. He's not appointed His children to wrath. Being much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Those are future things, aren't they? based on the great salvation and deliverance that He worked and brought to us in time. He purposed to do it in eternity past. He brought it to pass in time, down to the time of our life when He saved us. I'm delivered from wrath to come. See that? See how it's connected? Isn't that hope? that I know it's so. I don't have to fear that. The leader of North Korea, if he pushes the button to send the missile wherever it goes, I don't have to fear that. I'm the Lord's. May I die as a result of it? Yes. It could be. But if they make a mistake, my hope's in Christ. Right? Right, child of God? Is our hope in the Lord? Indeed. Being much more than now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. He's making the argument here about the hope that we have and what He's done for us. He said, For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. He lives! Not a dead Savior. He died to rescue me and redeem me, but He didn't stay dead. I'm not trusting in a dead man. I don't have faith and salvation in a dead man, but in one that's alive. God Almighty, the Son that came down to be a man for me and gave His life and is alive. Can we have hope? Amen. We presently have hope for those things that are to come, those things that we're going through now. When we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Reconciliation is an accounting term, isn't it? Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. My sins and I, my depravity, my wicked soul has been atoned for by Jesus Christ. Do we have a basis for hope? We have the greatest basis there is, don't we? And we joy in Him. See, in considering about the operation of God that Colossians talks about, one must believe that they're a sinner. You must believe that Christ is able to save. John talks about receiving the Lord, not on your terms, no ifs, ands, or buts, but what God says is true. Not mama said this, or daddy said this, or I just don't believe that part of the Bible. No. You receive Christ, or you get nothing. You receive Him completely, or nothing. It's all or nothing. Well, I believe in Jesus, but I reject the Father. You don't get Christ. I believe in the Father, Jehovah God, but deny the Son, you got nothing. We receive the Lord, right? And that operation of God, saving faith, salvation of the soul. And that here's where conviction works, isn't it? The Lord squeezes us, works on us, and we receive what He says is true, and then saving faith is granted. Don't you love Him for what He's done for you? Perfect love will cast out fear. Perfect love. And granted, in this old flesh, we can't be perfect. But we love Him because He first loved us. Amen?
Amen?
And we know that He loves us. Amen? Did He not give Himself for us? Who would give themselves for a rotten skunk like Jim Duke? But the Lord did. We love Him. And in love being growing, we know we can trust Him for life ahead, can't we? Oh yeah, tribulation is going to come. He expects of us and wants us, and James tells us when tribulation comes, trial, testing of the Lord comes, the Lord's desire is for us to grow in patience, not pitch fit. Why me? We've all said, why me, haven't we? Why not me? Amen? The thing is, I'm not going to gain experience unless I go through some of this. We love the Lord. We trust Him. We have hope because of experience. And then here we are in the child of God's life, right here. Hope. We have hope, don't we? Quickly, a few more verses. Romans 15. Romans 15, verse number 4. Romans 15, verse number 4. Mentioned this Wednesday night, a parallel to it in Romans chapter 15, verse number 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. You know this book? You can't even pretend to have hope without knowing this book. And knowing this, your Savior, your Lord that loved you and gave Himself for you, and all the examples of these things in the saints, and all these things that the Lord brought to pass or allowed to happen to the saints, and how He worked in them and delivered them and helped them. You can't have hope without this. Because when the big, you know what this word tribulation talks about? It talks about being squeezed. Because when the big squeeze comes on, you don't have the Word of God in you, you'll have nothing to claim. Oh, child of God, eat up that Word. Eat it up. I'm talking to consume it. And learn about your Savior. Through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Hope. In verse number 13, the apostle writes, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. He's speaking to saints. John writes that, doesn't he? He says, I write that believe, that you might know that you have eternal life, and that you might believe in the name of the Son of God. We need to keep on believing. Keep on trusting in Him. See, that's it's talking more about trusting Him. God says one thing, I buck against it. I don't believe Him. God says one thing for me to put in my life or to take away from my life. I don't believe Him. I'm going to have trouble. This is going to get messed up. I'm going to be living like the world. I'm going to be living like I used to live. If He says it, we need to believe it. He says here, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Joy in believing, God says it. I don't know how that can even be. But I'm going to believe Him. I'm going to trust Him that what He says is true. Peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope. See there? Abound in hope. He wants us to be full of hope. Overrunning with hope. Filled and abounding with hope. That's what He instructs us to be. That you may abound in hope. How? Through the power of the Holy Ghost. Lord, I know You said what You said. And I don't know why this has come upon me, but I need Your help. You can go to the Lord for help in it. Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. We're in that strait, aren't we? This old man and the new man war against each other. But you and I that are saved, we need to be filled with hope. And 1 Timothy chapter 1, take a look here. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Paul, verse number 1, 1 Timothy 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Look into the Lord. This whole thing started with the Lord, didn't it? Of salvation and the new life. Is it not going to end with the Lord? Why would I should I take to myself the pursuit of dealing with life by myself? I've got one that loves me and that'll help me and has given me promises. Doesn't Peter speak about the promises? Right, Peter in 2 Peter chapter 1 says that all things have been given to us that pertain to glory and virtue. We've been given promises by which we can be partakers of the divine nature. And he says that we need to add to our faith. We don't have time to take a look at that. But that's there. You know those verses are there. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This has helped me, and I hope maybe help you to see why this is this way. And now abideth faith. It's the only way a sinner is saved, isn't it? Faith in the Lord. It abides. Right? Hope. Abideth hope. Hope in the Lord for deliverance now and deliverance to come. Amen. Help, right? And charity. That's love with legs on it, isn't it? We show that we are the Lord's by our love one for another. That's how the world knows about it. Amen? Isn't that what the Scripture says? Isn't that what the Lord told His disciples? He said, by this the world will know that you're my disciples because you love one another. Agape love. Love not that's just out of the mouth, but love that has legs on it. Love that will intercede for the brother and sister in Christ before the Lord for their need. Love that will get up at 2 o'clock in the morning and go to their side to meet their need and help them. Love to weep when they weep and to rejoice when they rejoice. Amen. Because of our love for the Lord. We've looked about that in our relationships. Because of our love for the Lord, we indeed are to have love for our brothers and sisters in Christ. It manifests our love for the Lord. And these things remain. These things remain. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Now, faith is the substance of things for. Faith is what you can put your hands on for those things that are hoped for. Isn't that interesting? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Did you see the Lord Jesus Christ raised from the dead? Not with these eyeballs. But you have in the soul and your heart, haven't you? Amen. The child of God is resting that everything that Jesus did is good enough to make good on the promises that He's made. Amen? We've got hope. We've got a living Savior that we could talk about in regards to that. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, you that are here and not saved, listen to what the Word of God says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We talked about this here in our afternoon services. And He's speaking to them about the resurrection. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, speaking to the saints, that you sorrow not even at others that have no hope. You don't have the Lord Jesus as your Savior. You have no hope. Because you're going to die. And everybody in this whole world system that you would trust in and look to deliver you is going to die. Everybody, the whole mess is affected by death. There's no one that you can rest in, rely on, or hope to help or deliver you. We point you to Christ. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 12. Here's how it was before we were saved. Before the grace of God appeared. Before faith came. Verse number 11. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 11. Wherefore remember that in time past, that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. No hope. Had no connection to the oracle of God, had no connection to the people of God, had no connection to the seed of God that was going to come through his, from Abraham down through his nation, his son. We were without Christ with no hope. Zero. And that's the way you are here if you're not saved this morning. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, we'll close. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Verse number 4. For to him that is joined to the living, there is hope. Is your heart beating? There's hope in Christ. If you're joined to the living, there is yet hope for the salvation of your soul through Christ. Will you believe Him? Will you receive Him? Canst thou have faith in Him? Oh, we pray that the Lord would open your eyes and open your heart that you might see Christ. Well, I was baptized when I was a kid. That's not what we're talking about. I've given so much to the church. I've suffered for the name of God. That's not what we're talking about. My daddy was this, that, or the other. My mother was this, that, or the other. My grandfather was this, that, or the other. See, hear that in the jail. I'm Brother Jim. I'm here to preach to you, whatever it is. Said, well, I had an uncle, my uncle's great-grandmother's cousin was a preacher. What's that got to do with anything? You're the soul that's in need. For to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. You take a lion and a dog and put them in a cage, dog doesn't stand a chance, does it? When death comes and you're found on the other side of death without Christ, there's no hope. But on this side of life, there's hope. While there's life and there's the Lord, there's hope. Praise the Lord we have in Christ. Amen.